We'll do. Call our meeting to order. We'll open with prayer and then have the pledge, if you'd stand with me.
Let's pray.
Father, we once again run to you and thank you for your goodness to us and who you are. And let's pray your help, Father. We ask your help today in this meeting. Give us wisdom. Give us clarity of thought. And make us good servants, whatever job we might have. In Christ's name, amen. Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, next we're ready for meeting minutes. And I've just visited with Christy on March 24th. It was written about four pumps on the first sentence, but it mentions valves in the second sentence, and valves is what we were talking about, so she's already corrected that one, changing it from pumps to valves on the sewer board's recommendation. That's the only thing I saw.
On all three of them?
Yep.
Okay. I move that we approve 319, 322, and 324 as amended.
Second.
Questions or comments? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Okay, next we've got accounts payable. And if we could, originally I'd like us to pull out two numbers, 236, 250, 3220, and 236, 275. 5063 and vote on them separately if we could.
Okay. We'll pull those out separately. I've got two I need to pull out too, and it goes off of last week's discussion for Aegis Engineering.
Okay.
I need to pull out PO 2010 01 0117. I think that is that one we can talk about. And then the other one was 2010 03 0299. And just because this was brought up last week, this is Aegis, and that's the one that, when I was on vacation, the check got covered and released. Quite frankly, I'll just be honest, there's a document that you signed that's not accurate. And so I just want to make sure for the record that I did not approve of 2010-010-117, which I think is check number 318098. I just had, I'm going to bring it up here. What, I don't understand what the urgency was that, why that was taken out when I was not here.
Well, I tried to explain it. I'll try again.
Okay.
That payment was in a accounts payable just like we're looking at today.
Right.
And you asked that one be held out.
Right.
So we held it out. We've done this quite often
Right. Through
our career.
Right.
When we have a question, we'll ask to hold it out, and then we clarify whatever our concern is, and then we say, go ahead and send it.
Right.
Well, I came in, I think you were in D.C. or someplace out of town, and there was an issue brought to me that you had ask that bill be put in for Monday's accounts payable.
Right.
And, of course, it had already been not approved, but in the list and held out, as I just said. And the question, I believe, came from the auditor's office, why are we doing this a second time? And I didn't understand, so I believe I talked to Nikki.
Correct.
And she explained that you asked that be put in the accounts payable again.
Mm-hmm.
So I assumed
right.
that if you wanted it in accounts payable that you were ready to pay it. Well, it had already been through the process. There was a check written and waiting. So again, I assumed since you had put it back in accounts payable that you were ready to pay it.
Right.
And since this issue's come up, I question whether we're being, I don't know how to say it, but careful enough in how we do this accounts payable, because from time to time, any of us will have a question as we go through the bills, and we'll ask, hold this one out, and then when we're satisfied, generally just the one that asks will say, I'm all right to go ahead, and Helen sends the check out.
Mm-hmm.
But since I'm not sure where you are yet, because I don't understand why you're holding up when you put it back in accounts payable. So,
and let me just explain. So, because I think I mentioned last Monday was I was trying to get some information gathered so that I knew exactly if I was comfortable with this invoice or not. So the check that was released was an amount of $12,000. Okay. Well, it's all based off this land use and zoning services contract we have. Okay. And we would argue we're done with phase three, or we're at the beginning of phase three, but for the sake of the conversation, we're at the end of phase three. Well, based off of the pricing structure we have, we should have paid them a total of $75,000, $69,000 for phase one, $3,300 for phase two, and $3,300 for phase three. When I tabled that motion, when I tabled those checks, that check, that this is what I didn't have in front of me, they had been paid up until that point $75,869. So within $100, within $300 of being maxing out the contract. By releasing that check, we've now paid them $88,000, which is $12,500 more than we're supposed to. And now we've got another check that we've got to hold out from last week, which was another $9,800. And then I'm getting ready to take this last invoice I mentioned for another $12,000. So what has happened now, we've overpaid the vendor by over $12,000 because they've already billed us more than the contract amount. So that's why I held it out. I didn't have all the facts, so that's why I had to get my reports together before I could say I'm ready to release it. But I knew that time-wise I'd have it done. So we're in a predicament now. We've overpaid a contractor, and they've cashed the check already for a bill that should never have been released. So...
Jim, the question I still don't understand is why, if you had those questions, why did you ask Nikki to put it back in accounts payable?
To speed up the process so in case it didn't come out like I thought, because I didn't have the contract, I could easily approve it.
So you still had all those questions?
Sure. I was hoping to do it Friday before the Monday vote.
Okay.
And I came back to work Friday after the 3 days, and this document doesn't say, I never approved it. That's the thing. When we hold a check out, we put it back in. And from what I understand, and Helen helped me out here, when we hold an invoice, you don't release a check unless either you have a copy of the minutes or a document signed, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, so the process was, I had more questions. Of course, I didn't know where Danny stood until we had a debate. He may have voted to hold these out for different reasons. I know he's had problems with the land use services contract from the very beginning. So, anyway, so my motion is to approve accounts payable. We're going to hold out the two that Chuck mentioned.
I have a question there.
Okay.
Because you may, go. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, sorry.
Go ahead.
I can make the motion in a second. Go ahead.
Wait.
We got those two numbers, but you mentioned... I think you mentioned earlier two EGIS numbers, and there's only one in the accounts payable.
Well, there was a new one, and there was the old one that was of that check. This one was sitting on the top of the accounts payable book in that bucket this morning.
But it's not in accounts payable.
Okay.
The ticket's there, but it's not.
Okay.
It's
I
not just, listed.
I looked at the invoice, and I saw the invoice. I want to make sure we aren't releasing it. So.
Okay.
So
the number you're asking to be held out would be check number 319001. For $12,750?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the only one in there today, right? Yeah, so I want to hold that one out.
Okay.
As well as the two that Chuck wants to hold out.
Chuck, do you have check numbers?
Yeah, I gave you the wrong number. Hang on here just a second. One of them would be 319009.
Let me see that document down there.
Give me just a second here. And 319026. So to clarify our motion, We've got a motion by somebody.
Me.
You, okay. We're going to hold out 319. 009, 319, 026, and 319, 001.
So that'll be my motion.
I would second that motion.
Okay.
Any questions or comments?
Well, I'm going to, by reading this document, I see that that Chuck has signed the document. It's got Jim's name on here. Make it perfectly clear that we had discussion about this, and I had a rather lengthy discussion when we had about the land usage contract. And so it doesn't say anything on here about me approving or disapproving or anything. I knew that we pulled the check. It's not uncommon for us to pull a check, and I know that there has been upon occasion that the same invoice has ran through accounts payable several times, and I know of at least two different times when Helen has had to just dispose of the check because just void it out and start over on the project because we had a check that there wasn't clarification on. But what I'm wondering is the reason that your name and Jim's name are the only two names on there is because that I didn't approve or I don't understand how that document works.
Let me tell my story again. I was here, and Nikki brought the issue up that Jim had asked that the payment, I don't have the number, but it was $12,315, I think, or something. He had asked that bill be put in accounts payable for the following week. One other element was Joe Tarvin with Aegis had spoke to me at the sewer board meeting on Tuesday, so it must have been a Tuesday, and said he'd been waiting and waiting and he hadn't got this check. So the question came up, I believe, from the auditor's office, why are we running this through a second time? It was already done a few weeks ago. I assumed, since Jim had put it in the accounts payable, that the question he had originally that he helped ask us to hold the check out, he was satisfied, got his information. Helen and I had this conversation, and I told her, I said, makes sense to me if he's putting it back in accounts payable, his question is answered, and I signed the document.
Okay, I mean, was he there for delivery of the check?
Yeah, he was here at sewer board. And so he took the check, and as Jim said, I'm sure he's probably cashed it. We're looking real bad because I don't remember ever signing one of these before when we've held checks out. It's simply been a verbal to you, Helen. Go ahead and release the check.
Right. What we started doing is anything over $500, if someone wants to pick it up that's not actually the check made out to, if it's made out to a vendor, and a lot of times Nikki will say they're going to come by here and pick it up. If it's been approved, I go ahead and Nikki's signed them. You know, the girls have signed them. Anyone in any department that picks up a check that's not made out to them for over $500 has to sign that they are picking it up. And you probably haven't picked one up since we started because Rick and I decided this, what, about a year ago that we were going to start doing this just because it's back when the judicial was being built and it was getting, you know, an every week occurrence that somebody was wanting a $100,000 check held till the contractor came in. And I'm thinking, you know, we've got to get something in place. And so that's why we started doing that.
Well, I'm not looking for defense, but here's what I'm looking for. We have, from what I've heard here this morning, we have an overpayment of $12,000 to this contractor. If everything is correct, I do not have my name on a motion made to approve this but we have a Chuck and he has in the written documentation Jim's name with Chuck's signature. So if we have an overpayment to a contractor and there's some process we have to go through to get our money back, I just want to make it clear that my name is not on this document, and I haven't approved it in accounts payable, or that's what I'm trying to do, Chuck. I think you would do the same thing if you was in my shoes.
If you'll listen to my story, I've said it, I guess, three times now, never mentioned you once. So I agree, you had nothing to do with it.
Right, but I wanted to make sure that there's $12,000 overpayment here because we got into this Bull Creek deal once before years ago when I first came into office of an overpayment, and there was quite a mess out of it. So I just wanted to make sure that was clarified.
Okay.
Anytime there's
Can I just suggest that it's obvious that we made a mistake and we need to take care of that in the future, but could I suggest, since we get a list of the accounts payable that's to be processed, that we, that morning, if you're going to hold something, that the person taking the minutes can write on there that this check is held until the person asking for it to be held, if it be one or more, then signs to release it.
Well,
the fact is there has to be a vote to approve accounts payable.
Yes.
And there has to be 2 out of 3 voting, and any vote should take place in either an executive session or an open session. It should be a situation where it's done in a meeting of some sort.
Yeah, but again, if we note on there it hasn't been voted on, it's just been held, then Helen will have that, and she, even if one commissioner thinks that it got approved, Helen will have the document that says it wasn't approved, it was just held, and then she can police it if that's okay with you, Helen.
But held means not approved, though.
I'm sorry, what?
Held means not approved. It was either approved or it wasn't approved. I mean, that's...
When you hold it, you're not approving it, are you?
Right, so it hasn't been approved.
I agree. That's what I'm saying. Held, it's not approved.
This is not. My thing was, just for the record, I didn't approve it, and that's the only reason I brought it up, and we'll need to set up a meeting with Aegis as soon as we can to go over these invoices, because they've invoiced us about $40,000, almost $50,000 more than the contract amount.
I'd like to state that I've said exactly what happened, and I apologize for assuming. Everybody knows what assuming does for you. It makes a rear out of you and the next guy. And I was very clear to Helen. I thought it was all right because Jim had put it in there. If I wanted to take the time, I believe I can go back and listen to tapes where we have held out checks like this before, and there's been no vote taken before Helen released the checks. Don't think so, Helen?
I hope not either.
Not as far as I know. Nikki will usually call, and if I hold them, like this one's been since January, and I will monitor them, and if it's been 3 or 4 weeks, I'll say, are they going to approve this check? And she will call me or I'll call her, and she said, they just had a meeting. I'll get you the minutes. They voted to release that check. You can send it out. And so it's by vote through Nikki's office in the minutes before I do.
Helen usually keeps a copy of the minutes. Mm-hmm. And she keeps it with all her paperwork and documentation in her office.
So you're saying when we've held checks, mm-hmm. we've always gone back and re-voted on them?
Yes. If you vote to hold it, then you vote to release it before I release it.
Okay. Any other discussion? We're talking about a $12,000 check that's already gone out. And there's another $12,000 check is the other number that you are withholding.
Right, and then we held one from last week, too. And that one's not in there either.
These are from bills from Aegis Engineering on our planning and zoning process.
Let me clarify that. The first one was only 9,800 and some was planning and zoning residents.
Correct.
I think that maybe the reason you held it out to begin with, you felt like that it should have been paid there. Part of it should have been paid, part of it shouldn't have been paid, I think. And I don't know, but I know that not all of it was for planning zoning.
Right. Okay. All right. Ready to vote?
Yep.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.
Then I'm going to, I'll move that, if I just check numbers down here. Check numbers 319009 and 319026 are approved.
Second.
Okay.
Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Motion carries.
Okay.
All right. We got a journal entry or two in there. Can't remember what they are right off, but I approve. I think they were for the collectors. One of them was for the collector office, some plywood and stuff. Anyway, I'll make a motion to approve the journal entry or entries, whichever is the case.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Public comment.
Or there's the journal entries and transfers, same thing on that, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ron Potter.
Welcome, Ron.
Good morning.
Morning.
Thought I'd start off Monday with some good news.
Good. Let's hear it.
For the last 4 or 5 months, the city of Forsyth has been working with the National Weather Service to get the town designated as a storm-ready community. And last Friday, we found out that this coming Friday at 1 o'clock at City Hall, National Weather and the State Emergency Management Office are going to come down and designate us a storm-ready community.
Wonderful.
So you're invited to attend. I know it's short notice, but if you'd like to.
Now, what was the date again, Ron?
It's this Friday.
This Friday?
April 2nd, 1 p.m.
Okay.
City Hall.
Great.
And as part of that, I want to let you know that we couldn't have done this without a lot of teamwork from Chris Byrne and Jimmy Russell. They had a lot of patience. National Weather wanted to go through dispatch and the emergency management process, and Chris and Jimmy really helped us out there. So I just wanted you know we appreciate their teamwork.
Got a good bunch of folks.
Wonderful.
Yes, you do. Good news.
Thanks. Thanks for bringing that to our attention. Other public comment?
Bob Shantz.
Bob, welcome, sir.
Okay. I came here this morning basically to ask you gentlemen what decision you made about having a state audit. I wasn't here last week and I haven't heard anything, so that's what I'm wondering about. However, once I got here and started listening to this thing on Aegis, man, that is shocking. That, you know, Mr. Pennell, several times you say, I didn't understand, I assume, I apologize. Hey, that money is my money and everybody in this room, it's our money. And instead of having a state audit, I think we ought to have a criminal investigation. Something doesn't smell right here. It just does not seem right. And you can go explain it the fifth time if you want, Mr. Pennell, but something is not right. And Aegis, if they got overpaid and cashed a check, they ought to be investigated, and I wouldn't do any business with them anymore. I mean, what is this? They just take money when they get the check, they cash it and hold it for a month, and I don't know what the deal is, but something is not right. So let's have a criminal investigation, and if you two gentlemen don't go for it, I'll go and start one.
Okay. Any other public comment? Is that it, Nikki?
Jennifer Smolke.
Jennifer. Welcome, young lady.
I just had kind of a procedural question as the Taney County Commission coordinates with the Taney County Sewer Commission. where and when does the Taney County Commission enter into the process, if at all, for the approval or disapproval of sewer district projects?
In the contract, whenever the contract is proposed or written, it has to have our approval for distribution of the funds. Is that right, Bob?
Yes. Essentially,
I mean, basically, they make recommendations for projects. They may even interview engineering firms, but before they spend a dollar, they have to have the approval of the commission.
They are a separate political body, a separate political corporation, and there's a tax that the county has instituted for capital sewer improvement purposes, and they can only be used for those purposes. And in order to have those used, they have made arrangements with entities that provide sewer to areas in the county to pay for viable projects. There's an agreement with all the municipalities that 25% of the monies will be used for the municipalities if they have a viable project. They can have 1/10 or 1/9, however many municipalities there are of that 25% share. The other 75% is generally, shall we say, reserved for the Taney County Sewer Project, who is supposed to provide sewer projects for the entire county. And only if it's a new capital improvement and only if the commission believes that it's a viable project once it's presented to them and recommended does the commission approve that expenditure. The commission does not go out itself and say, we think this is a good project, you need to do this. That's the sewer board's job. The sewer board decides what it wants to provide, and then it asks the county commission to approve those expenditures. And they either approve or they don't approve those expenditures based upon whether they think it's a viable project and a good expenditure. If that's a good explanation of what goes on, I try to do my best.
Okay. Well, I guess I need to be a little more specific then, because I'm here regarding the T Highway project, and I don't quite, okay, I know that something's been approved or something by somebody, because Aegis has been out there doing the sewer surveys and everything. So I guess as far as the Taney County Commission is concerned, is it a done deal then? Is this project going ahead? Or do I need to go to the sewer district and find out? Does something have to be approved there first? Because it's my understanding we're getting close to easements, and I need to know who I'm supposed to be talking to, whether I come here, whether I go there, because I've got a lot of issues.
From what I understand, we approved survey analysis, basically, of the viability of that project. We approved the recommendations of the sewer board, which was to issue Aegis, basically to do a cost study of that project. Now, if you easement issues, concerns like that would be brought to the sewer board so that they can make sure they hear them and make sure they make adjustments within the study time. So, if I'm misleading, let me know, but I think that's what we've done up to this point, is approved a study. Is that correct?
I would have to go get the contract. Okay. I know there's...
And this matter's not... Oh, I'm sorry.
You ready? No.
Well, so we're still in the analysis? I mean, nothing's...
I would suggest we can talk after this, but go to the sewer board. We'll set you up to visit with the sewer board.
Well, I have done there and kind of got here for a little bit, and so I'm just wondering where I'm actually supposed to
be. At recess, let's make sure we talk.
All right. And thank you so much.
If I may, the only thing I was going to say when I rudely interrupted is this isn't on the agenda,
right.
So you guys aren't prepared to speak about
sure.
it right now.
Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
Other public comment?
Don Era.
Don? Welcome, sir.
Well, it's been a while since I've been here. I guess you guys have been doing a pretty good job.
Well, it's interesting anyway, huh?
I do want to congratulate you all on turning the animal control over to the health department. I think that's one of the wisest decisions you commissioners have made. when it came over to the commission, it made an awful mess, as Chuck knows, for many years, well, a few years. And everybody was over at the Animal Control Center fighting disease and fighting this and fighting that. And finally, I think you guys have determined it's somebody else's fight that really knows what they're doing. So anyway, I want to congratulate you.
Thanks.
The next thing, you guys still make ordinances in this county for animal control, or bites and things like this. It enters into state and also into laws that you guys can pass. Well, I'm here because I want to see a vicious dog ordinance enacted. And I think this is going to come more to a head probably in the next 4 or 5 years than you guys are going to want to see. Or maybe you will want to see it. The reason I'm coming forward is because 2 years ago, we were having a Christmas party at my house. I walked out the door just before everybody arrived, and I mean like 20 kids was going to be there under the age of like 10. I walked out the back door, and here was a husky dog and a pit bull, and they had one of my wife's cats between them, and they just made rag out of it, okay? They just chewed it up terribly. And I came out the back door, and when I did that, they dropped the cat, and they both turned and bared their teeth and growled at me. I know how to take care of this, and I did, okay? However, this isn't the end of the story. Day before yesterday, I came out the back door. Here was two pit bulls. You know? Now, they didn't have a cat, because, but my wife raised rabbits, and she also has cats. But they weren't up on them, okay? But they were getting close. I yelled at these dogs, and one of them took off, and one of them didn't. However, neither one of them bared their teeth, so I felt no obligation in really doing a job on them. Okay? But I had one of my grandsons down, and he is the type of person that's not afraid of any dogs. And he would have probably yelled and run at those dogs and all kinds of things and probably got bitten. You know, I am a concerned person. I think this needs to come to a head. We have no vicious dog ordinance. There are certain dogs that are specified, and you can go on any of the .com programs in your internet and find out what exactly are vicious dogs. Because these breeds of dogs, you know, were developed to bite people. You know, and here we have people that are raising these dogs. They're treating them, some of them, pretty bad. They're raising them to be vicious, and they're letting them roam. You know, they'll bring them out in the country and just dump them loose for a while to let them run. Well, whose place are they running on? You know, mine, evidently. Anyway, I'm tired of it. And I think this is an issue that's going to be brought up because there are plenty of maimed children out there that have been viciously bitten. In fact, one of the commissioners released one of the vicious dogs back that had bitten people from this very, not you guys, but the commission before. And this is a shame. This is really a shame. And if it was one of your kids, one of your grandkids, I think you'd be standing up here just like I am, saying, let's do something about this. Now, a lot of you are saying, okay, we can't put a vicious dog ordinance out there because that's going to take care of the hunters. You know, they can't hunt on this and hunt on that. And, well, I'm not talking about hunting dogs. I'm talking about people, vicious dogs. And I want to see an ordinance written by you guys. I really do. And if there's a problem with this, you know, I think that you guys really need to address it. because there's going to be some other people yelling about this in the not too near future. So please take this into consideration. Thank you very much.
Don, any question? Yeah, if you'd like to visit with me after a while, I'd be glad to sit down and visit with you. We do have an ordinance on dogs that's been around a long time, and we did amend it, I don't know, a couple, 3 years ago, on your concern. If I'm not mistaken, the state law refers to the bites, and when a dog's when a person's bit, the health department takes that responsibility to check it out, and sure. And they have the shelter hold the dog and those kind of things, and the prosecutor gets involved, all that kind of stuff.
I'm talking about the time before that, though. Before they get bit.
And that's what we worked on, and okay. we've got it in our ordinance. We did not name a specific breed, any particular breed, and I don't remember what the language is, but I'll get you a copy of it. We can sit down and look at it.
I would like for the sheriff department to get a copy of this because they have no knowledge of it.
Well, the sheriff does because we went through quite a long process of doing that. Again, we did not name any breeds, but we talked about a dog that shows that they're a threat to bite somebody, that the owner has to keep them enclosed, mm-hmm. that they cannot run free if they show those tendencies. Is that pretty close, Bob?
That is pretty close, and I know that the commissioners at the time looked at the possibility of designating certain breeds of animals as vicious, but there's some problems with that, and there would be some opposition to that. Whether it's a good idea or not, I don't know, but I know that it would have been controversial just because it's a certain breed designating it as a vicious dog. Also, I'd like to point out that there is a state statute that makes it a misdemeanor for a dog to be running loose and the owner not controlling it when it does any property damage or that sort of thing on somebody else's property. So killing your cat or even digging up your garden could result in a misdemeanor charge against someone if they're not controlling their dog, and that's on the first offense. So there is a state statute that does cover that situation as well.
And the problem is they have to do an act before they're guilty of that, so that's why we worked on it. We'll sit down if you'd like. And
I would. And, we've talked about this before.
And we can go over it with the sheriff again. I'm guessing that maybe a deputy is not aware of it. I think we sent them copies, and again, it's been a couple of 3 years where they may have.
Matter of fact, we had the prosecutor and the sheriff sit down with us when we were considering it, I believe.
Right. And we've had, I know, a couple of years ago, we had a case, remember one at Kirbyville, that there was a dog that they had to build a fence, and there's quite specific requirements on how the fence has to be built so that they can't dig out and locks. I mean, pretty extensive deal. Anyway, I'd be happy to sit down with you because nobody wants what you're talking about.
Very good.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, others?
No, that's it.
All right. Next one is Blue Ridge Road. And I've got a motion to make, unless you all are ready.
Go ahead.
I thought I don't have the information right here in front of me. Do you have the
yeah.
copy of it? Because I've read it, but I didn't bring it with me on the cost factor on it. I have the...
As you all know, we've went out and looked, and Randy's given us this, and we talked about it. I believe we talked about it last week before. So I'll make a motion that we extend county maintenance on Blue Ridge Road an additional 1,600 feet, which includes going to the bottom of the hill. This would be contingent on a right-of-way given by Mr. Burdine at the bottom of the hill, which is currently owned by GLW Enterprises, which the right-of-way would include a turnaround and room to have a low-water concrete slab cross where the water comes down through there. And that we notify each property owner, which would include Mr. Burdine and maybe, I think there's like six on the other side of the low water crossing, that this work might not even happen this year. If we can, we'll work it in this year, but if not, it'll have to be on schedule behind other projects that's already going on. That'd be my motion.
What estimates are you using to...
It's what we looked at before. The there'd be about 30 to 33,000 to get to the bottom of the hill.
Okay.
And the concrete low water crossing would be an additional 15 to 20,000 is what Randy's estimated.
Just so I'm not going to second the motion. I think it's too expensive to spend for six for the people that we're serving over there. I just plus in the state of the Road and Bridge Department, I won't second that, Chuck, because you know.
Okay.
We've looked at this. I don't know. I guess Frank, I don't think that you have a video of that road. We as commissioners went and looked at it, but I can't second the motion. It is the road is in terrible shape. Matter of fact, it's almost impassable. It's not a county road. It's private property. The citizens that live over there have bought the property, I'm sure, at a because of where it's at and because of the condition of the road to get to it, at a reasonable, very, very sensible, reasonable price, probably, is what they give for it, and I can't see spending county dollars on a situation that they knew was pre-existing. If so, anybody that had a terrible hole or holler to fill in to have the county come and look or build so I myself or anybody else could sell lots in an area doesn't seem reasonable for tax dollars spent to meet for county citizens, and so I can't second the motion either.
Okay.
I'm going to move that we deny the request for Blue Ridge. Frank, if I'm wrong, come up here. But is it 6 months when we deny a petition request? Is it 6 months they have to wait?
I believe that's our policy.
Okay. So I'm going to move that we, in light of the economic conditions and the condition of just budget, I'm going to move that we deny the Blue Ridge Road request or petition. I may not get a second on that either, but.
Okay. Got a motion to deny
the request.
The request from, I think it was put together by Mr. Burdine.
I believe so.
I'm going to second your motion. I think that it's, and I could be confused, if Bob helped me out here, it's either PNZ or Road and Bridge petitions that are brought forward, that it's a year that they be before they can be reconsidered after denial.
I think it's probably PNZ.
Okay.
But this...
I just want to get that straight before he can make a 6 month request
I'm going off of the I believe our precedents have been 6 months. If it's not, I can just withdraw the motion until we find out, and I can do this at a later time.
I would like to make note that there was this road was brought up several times, and that there was an approval to extend this road at the top of the hill which they couldn't even get the easements to get that done. And the easement on the turnaround, that's the reason I would like to have a video here to show on the screen to show you where, before it drops off into a incline that that a bus or a heavy truck or anything would be endangered to do so. When Mr. Harris came in and requested to cross on a road that was maintained, we turned him down in a majority vote on his request and requested that it be asphalted by the individual before we would take it in. I'm not sure we made the right decision on that, but it was nowhere to this extreme that the county be responsible for a private road that crosses such a ravine that basically needs to take a bridge or box culverts, and for us to take on the road to that point allows for us to be responsible for possible flooding. We had a FEMA person in here the other day, and from what they talked about, a mile square and so much so many feet of water per mile square in that area, the road's terrible. So I'm not going to I second Jim's motion on the denial, but I would do want you to check on that, Frank, about the year instead of the 6 months.
Let me just put a caveat in the motion that it's 6 months before they can request a new road.
Okay.
A new petition. That's what my thoughts are.
All right. Want on a denial.
Denial and 6 months before they can reapply.
All right. My second.
I've got a little discussion. Dan, you mentioned it's not a county road. Most of it is a platted county road. It's only the section at the bottom of the hill that he's offered to give us room for a turnaround and a slab that is not platted. The reason I believe it's a right thing to take it in is we've got something like six folks on the other side that are, and it's been before, so I think they even had the news media down at one time, and it blocks their access when the water's up. We voted, I think it was last week, unanimously to go forward with improving Boys Camp Road, which is a similar situation, similar in the fact that people can't get out when the water's up. Mr. Burdine is the one that has, so to speak, pushed this. His home is right at the top where I made the motion to take in. I would not be in favor of taking it in just for his benefit. He didn't have a problem crossing the creek. He's just trying to get a smoother road, to understand that. But my thought process is that it would be a benefit to a number of people that when the water gets up, that washes out, as we all know. We went out there and looked at it.
I like to use a voice of reason, and I like to think about this situation. And this situation is exactly what any citizen in this county could do if they wanted to. They could buy them a piece of property across an old rough gully that wasn't worth anything, sell home sites over their lots, and then expect the county to take that property in and build them a road over there. To compare Boys Camp, which is already a paved road but has a flooding problem when the lake comes back up, to this situation is rather ridiculous. And then also the fact that Mr. Burdine, as we were on location, said that he was purchasing the property to the foot of the hill also lays upon my decision not to second the motion.
Just,
I mean, just to...
I don't think you heard me, Danny. my comparison to Boys Camp and this is that people can't get.
I know, but
that people can't get out when the water's up and the road washes out. That's the comparison. I know it's not a paved road. Other comments?
Well, just, I mean, Boys Camp Rome is a CDBG grant, so, I mean, most of it's being paid for from a grant on Boys Camp. It also serves a lot more people because of the pump station, the treatment station in Rockaway. I mean, it's affecting more than, and I feel bad for the six families, but to pay nearly $60,000 in road improvements for six families when we're going to pay, I don't know what the dollar figure is, to serve that many more people on Boys Camp. So mine is a, strictly it's the wrong year to be doing any improvements on a road like that. So that's why I made my motion.
Okay. Do we need to discuss any more? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. Motion carries. Okay. Next, we've got appointment of P&Z board members.
I've got the dates if you want to include that in the motion. I think it's something we can all kind of agree on. We might.
Hope so.
Here it goes. For P&Z, it's time to reappoint some members or appoint members, and then we didn't appoint some last year, looking to make sure we had people applied and to see if they wanted to serve on the board. P&Z is pretty restrictive on based off townships. So based off the townships, we didn't have some people in the townships that who wanted to serve don't live in those townships, so we couldn't serve on the P&Z at this time. So with that said, I'll get this in writing too. So here it goes. I move that we appoint Sarah Kleinfelter to from the Swan Township to serve through January 1st of 2014, which is a four-year term.
You don't do that one. Just do them one at a time.
Okay.
Because I have questions.
Okay. So Sarah Kleinfelter, Swan Township, to January 1st, 2014.
Second.
Okay.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. That's one down. I'll do the other easy one. I move that we appoint Ray Edwards from the Cedar Creek Township to a term to expire January 1st, 2014.
I'll second that. Has anyone checked on Ray's health or his willingness to serve again?
Eddie has.
Okay.
Eddie did last
I second
week.
The motion.
Yep.
Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries.
All right. The next one coming up is Jim Bronner. Is that?
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay. I move that we appoint Jim Bronner from the Oliver Township to January 1st, 2013.
Okay.
That was the term of that township. So
I'm not going to second that motion.
Okay.
I'll second it. Discussion?
Yeah, there's discussion. He had a 25% attendance record and abstained on voting from several key issues that were decided by his abstaining from a vote, which caused the vote to pass. If you're going to sit on a board, man up and be responsible.
Would you clarify that? You say he only attended 25%?
That was on the list that was given us on attendance. That he attended 25%. Mr. Cox, he furnished a list, and it said he attended 25%.
Do you have anybody else from the Oliver Township?
I don't, but I just won't second that. If Jim is too busy to do that, I mean, I don't know whether anybody's talked to him about serving again or what, but
Eddie's talked to all of them.
All right.
Go ahead, Chuck.
I don't have that list in front of me, but I don't believe that's correct. There was a gentleman, I believe the lowest percentage was like 50 or 51%, and it wasn't Jim, it was another fellow on the Planning Zoning Commission. I don't believe that's correct.
Okay, if not, I stand as corrected. If not, but that was the list that was given to me. And
it may have been for this fiscal year, not last year. This year he there was three lists in there. I know you may both be right. Last year, his overall attendance was in, what are you going to say, 70%-wise, 70-80%-wise?
I think so.
But yeah. I think early on, I mean, that's one of the Mr. Shantz came forward to us last a couple weeks ago, which was we had some people missing early on. I think we only had a few meetings, and there was quite a few people missed. Ray missed for health reasons, and I think Jim was out of town or something like that. So,
well, I've still okay. – go ahead. You guys go ahead okay. and do whatever you want to. I'm
Other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries.
The last one I have is Sean Pingleton.
Right.
He's from the Branson Township. I move that we approve him, his reappointment to the Board of Planning and Zoning Board to expire January 1st of 2013.
Second that. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. All right.
We almost had 100%, didn't we?
Got close.
That's pretty close.
I, on that issue, I try to attend all those meetings, and we have some good people serving. I'm glad that we reappointed them. Thank you. Okay, other business.
I was just going to remind everyone of the spring cleanup. That's coming up in a couple weeks. It's the dates of
16th and 17th.
There you go. This is a test of Nikki. 16th and 17th of April here. And then I was listening to the radio. I think some of the cities are doing the same week and cleanup in their cities too. So if you live in Branson or Hollister, they're doing some similar cleanup the same week. So and I think Shoreline cleanup is this weekend. So it's time to clean the house here, I guess. So spring cleaning.
I know the, and there's different groups that's doing this now that they have a spring float where they clean the creeks up and bring it to a certain location and then have it picked up. And I appreciate those folks that do that. They to float the creeks in Taney County, and it's a beautiful experience anyway. And for them to take their time and take the boats and things down and to pick up the trash and drop it off at a location to be picked up, I think is a good deed for the county. So, and appreciate them.
Yep. If you want to be if you have an area within the lake, I was just looking at my notes here. There's an area you want to clean. They have a organizational meeting on Wednesday at 10 o'clock at the Dewey Short Building. If anybody wants to participate, create a team. They have T-shirts, and they'll give you bags and give you a process and all that. So the cleanup, like I said, is this Saturday. But if you want to participate, you know, if you've got a group of neighbors or there's an area you want to clean up specifically, you know, at 10 o'clock, if there's not, then you can go there anyway. But the Wednesday at 10 o'clock is for, like, team leads of different groups.
Jim, is that just strictly for Table Rock?
It is.
It's okay, so.
It's just Table Rock, from what I understand.
All right. Now, we have Brenda Neal, I think, has promoted this a time or two, and I think she has some bags for cleanup in Taney County. Roadside cleanup and things like that. Those people might, if they're listening and then this gets out to the press, they might check with Brenda about the trash bags for the creek projects, mainly Road and Bridge has got them, and the tires and things like that that they can't put in the bags, but the other trash right. that they could put in the bags and have at those delivery sites. But I didn't know whether that was just strictly Table Rock or not. So
yeah, I think it's just Table Rock. I think there's a different date for Tanacoma and Bull Shoals. So.
I think they're looking for 1,000 volunteers there on Table Rock.
I believe
big
so.
Big deal. Been done a lot. Other? I've got a couple of three issues. On April 17th, there's a group of folks having a reception, retirement reception, I guess you'd say, for Dr. Roston, doctor here in Forsyth for many years, 1 to 5, Forsyth High School.
with your all's assuming year for that, I'd like to work on a resolution or something from the county, mm-hmm. acknowledging his service for many years. And I understand Maynard Wallace is doing the same from the state, working on something. If that's all right with you guys, I'd pursue that. And if anyone is got a free Wednesday morning, this Wednesday morning, the 31st, Dr. Austin is in the basement of Fat Daddy's, is giving a slide presentation of his underwater photography. And I've got to see it, and it's pretty awesome deal that he's done over the years. And that's, again, 7 o'clock at Fat Daddy's this Wednesday. I'd also like to get your all's go ahead. We approved, Jim, you going to the legislative conference.
Mm-hmm.
And looking through the agenda, I noticed that they don't call it the fair tax, but one of the issues they're going to talk about then mm-hmm. is what's referred to as the fair tax. It's the legislators are looking at currently. I think you and I sat in the same meeting at the Branson Chamber, and although the fair tax has got some very good positives to it, it has some pretty strong negatives to it, to Taney County, Southwest Missouri. Just very briefly, if that tax was to pass, we would have an extremely high sales tax. And with other states bordering us, it'd be very tempting, and most likely a lot of our customers that are purchasing in our businesses that provide the sales tax for our county government to operate on would go to other states. So with your all's blessing, I'll just drive up and drive back. I think I'm going to go because of that. Is that all right with you?
Oh, yeah.
Well, got two nods on that. Thank you.
When
is that date? I didn't write the date down.
It's 2 weeks. It's the legislative conference. It's the Monday, the 12th.
April 11th
and
12th.
Thank you, sir. The 12th.
And, Nikki, if you could get that out, I think there's an early sign-up yet that we're still good for, say, $5 or $10 or something.
Okay.
Yep.
And just for fun, those of you, if you have opportunity, look into that, because we don't know that it'll come for a vote this year in the legislature, but it's got a little steam, as the saying goes.
And the legislators have to pass it, and then it would be put to a vote of the people. So there's still some hurdles, but like Chuck was saying, it does have some momentum in both. The House passed, I believe, last year, and the Senate's debating it right now. Anyway.
Okay. We got that and that. Going backwards to our Aegis conversation, which was somewhat of a surprise to me this morning, I will write a check out of my savings for the $12,315, ever how many cents, until we can get that resolved. I would ask you, Jim,
mm-hmm.
you still haven't got your questions answered, is that right?
No, I have them now. Yeah, I would have denied it, and that's why I asked for the meeting.
So you don't believe they're owed any of those expenses?
I don't. Based off the contract that we approved, there was no hourly rate that... that part of the contract doesn't start until phase four, and we could even debate that we're not done with phase three. So I don't see where, if there is an hourly rate in that contract, that I don't see where it applies at this stage of the contract.
I believe I remember us voting on how far they should go mm-hmm. and whatnot. I'd like to ask Nikki to research our minutes for us and find out when we approve the contract, get that motion, and also any, you know, how far we allowed them to go. And also, it seems like we made a motion to tell them to stop at a certain later on, maybe. I'm not sure how that goes. But anyway, if you would just look up all the comments we've had with Aegis.
Yep.
Um, And I'd like to, going back to the decision of the county commission and how we work with the sewer board, we have, for the most part, not always, when the, as was mentioned by Bob or whoever, they're two different entities entirely. The county commission appoints the members to the sewer district board, but they're not elected. But then they are a separate entity, and they make recommendations and ask us to do certain things, ask us to approve the monies to be spent, as was said earlier. So just like this issue we have today on the Aegis contract, that money comes from a half-cent sales tax. The county commission is responsible for that money, so I'm sorry, that's not right. The Aegis thing, most of it was on planning and zoning, different deal. Part of it that Rick brought up was a sewer thing. They're working on different projects for us. But if it's a sewer project, it comes out of that half-cent sales tax. And what you're interested in, Jennifer, was that. So they will make a recommendation to us, and then if we think it's good, we approve it. And if we don't, we can deny it. I mean, they have made a time or two recommendations to us, requests of us, and we didn't think it was the right use of the money, so we haven't passed it. So you've got kind of, you get kind of like parents, you got two to deal with, not just one, and you've got to get past both of them, or the project has to get past both of them. And I'd also, while I'm talking about that, Nikki, if you would find out where we've approved the work that's been done by Aegis on the T-Highway project. Okay. And I'd also like to know, sorry about that, lining you up here, also like to know where that project, the T-Highway project, stands on the matrix. We've had a matrix over the years with the sewer district on which projects are most important. And we have approved it. I don't think there's any question on that, but I'd like to know where that stood on the matrix. Okay. So, and we can talk more, Jim can help you there farther, but it has to go through two bodies in order for us to start spending money on it. And I guess when you find that, Nikki, we can find out whether we've gone as far as approving them getting easements or not, because that was one of the questions.
Okay. Chuck, okay. Could I just make a comment about not really sure how to approach this other than in the past the county has overpaid entities in error before, whether that error was made by someone in the accounts payable department or whatever office was issuing a request for payment. But we have overpaid individuals before and then sought to retrieve that money back. As a commission, you might want to discuss among yourselves or, you know, in a meeting, whether you want to have an individual pay the county back and then try and seek that money back. I mean, because as a county, we have made that mistake before. Just a little history there.
You would have to explain that to me because I only know of one time that it's been overpaid, and that was a situation where the money could be recaptured through monies that were in a sewer board situation, and those monies were captured.
Maybe we're talking about two different subjects here, I think.
But anyway, the monies were available to be recaptured through a time frame that where they were paid, as Bob explained before, in their 25% monies, and the monies were recaptured that way. So that's the only time that I know of. And if you have other information about overpayment, I would like to know about it.
I think we're talking.
Open a can of worms, and I apologize. I was just trying to say that as a county, we have made mistakes before in overpayments and retrieved that money. But I guess I'll see with that.
Rick, you want to?
I don't like the fact that we've made mistakes before.
The one that everyone is talking about is UMB Bank. A UMB Bank was on a contract when I came into office. We paid UMB Bank on a monthly basis. At one point, I actually contacted UMB Bank, said, hey, how much do we owe still yet? They would not give me any information. I said, well, fine, if you won't give me any information, I won't make any more payments to you. And at that point, then, we finally got some information, found out that it had been overpaid. They have been repaying us on a monthly basis. Helen could probably tell you the balance, but they are repaying that amount. As far as I know, that's the only time the county has overpaid.
That was strictly all I was saying, Rick, is if there's other times, I want to know about them.
Yeah, me too.
But too. That's the only time that I know about. So.
The issue that Danny's talking about, and if I'm not on right track, correct me. The Village of Bull Creek had an agreement that monies would be paid back out of their percentage of the sewer sales tax. And it was overpaid what was due them. Craig Tucker, who was the trustee at the Village of Bull Creek, came to the county commission, said there's a mistake been made. More's been paid than was owed. Very honorable, great guy working at Bull Creek. He came to us, said, here's the problem, and we looked at a couple of different ways of correcting it. And that money's being paid back. I think that's what you're referring to, Rick. Amen. But we did overpay what was actually due on that contract. So that's what that issue is. Is that the way you see it?
That's exactly the way I see it. So that the lady that brought up the T-Highway project knows how things are taken care of, that is the reason that the county commission has oversight over the sewer board and other boards that expend monies. So that is why the process is in stages. And this mistake that is in the past, this thing has been resolved in the past. And I just wanted to make sure that Donna's statement wasn't taken out of context with mistakes have been made in the past. Since I've been here, my knowledge of one mistake being made in the past. So.
Okay, I got one more item.
Okay.
And it has to do with me signing checks, or not checks, request, because Rick and Helen signed the checks. In most cases, the presiding commissioner, whoever's sitting in the seat, is the one that signs most of the documents. Once in a great while, all three commissioners will sign. So I'm the one that's brought documents to sign off on. And we've had a lot of grant work recently. There's all kinds of papers, and Nikki keeps track for me when I sign a document. And I have my own list that keep track, not as well as Nikki does. Not as disciplined. But anyhow, many times I'm brought documents. Chuck, this has to be signed. And Jim and Danny are not in the office. And so it's a bit of a struggle for whoever. Dave Rozelle with the Sheriff's Department often is working on grants. He brings them in. You got to sign them. And my signature doesn't mean nothing aside of a vote. Correct, Bob?
The only way that the county commission can act is by its minutes and its votes. So one county commissioner can't do anything by himself. Any contract with the county must be in writing prior to there being a valid contract.
So it is a bit of a difficulty, and Nikki brings me a document many times. Chuck, you need to sign this. And so we have to go through the process. Has it been voted on? And it's difficult. So I'd like us to work on a new process. I mean, I'm not talking about a big change or anything, but some way that when Nikki brings to the presiding commissioner a document to sign, that she verifies that it is voted on, and that both the East and the Western commissioner are in favor of me signing the document. What do you think, Nikki? It's a problem some days, isn't it?
Yes, it
So the issue we face today is just a little bit different, but I was the only one there for Helen to come to, and so anyhow, chew on that, think about it, and let's come up with some kind of a system that...
Well, Chuck, wait a second. We're going to talk about the Aegis contract. You went to Helen. That's the difference. Helen didn't come to you and say, can I release this check?
I got a phone call before, I believe, before I saw Joe, and that was, why are we doing this? Why are we putting this back in a second time from the auditor's office? Yes, I did go to Helen.
Chuck, I don't remember it that way. I could be wrong. But what I remember happening was is you caught me. We were both in the sewer board meeting. You caught me right here, right back here, and you asked me how come we hadn't paid the Aegis bill. And I told you that that was a bill that you guys had held in January and that it was being put back in accounts payable next week.
But before that, I got a call or was stopped in the hall. Why are we doing this a second time? I don't know if it was from Nikki or Joanna or wherever. But anyway, the question came to me, like it or not, that why are we putting this in a second time? And you're still not okay with it, I don't know why you were trying to hurry it up and put it in a second time when you're not in favor of paying it. But that's water under the bridge. The point I'm wanting us to work on is how we sign these documents so that I'm not put in a position to be asked to sign a document that hadn't been approved.
Right.
No, sir, you can. I'll be glad to visit with you in the hall. We're past the public comment.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
I would I'd like to end kind of on a sweeter note.
Good. Let's have it.
I would like to talk about the events that are happening every week now in the spring of the year. We're having our little fairgrounds, our parks that we have scattered throughout the community, are having some kind of a event almost weekly. This last weekend, the Mincy Park had a Coggins test for horses and a demonstration for children on how to ride. Large crowd, good time was had. I went down by there for some breakfast. They had a regular country campsite breakfast, and we had a great time. And each one of the so if you get time, the public, that's what these little parks are for. And we've had such nasty weather that I think whenever you see people start moving out and having activity like that, that's why I'd like to mention that. And they are all scheduled, and those people that if you'd be interested in going to a particular event or a park, they've got those scheduled. So just wanted to bring that to everybody's attention.
Okay. Anything else? We'll take a couple-minute recess and then go into the rest of our meeting.